Now, on Wednesday this week, the New Zealand government unveiled a really historic climate change bill aiming to significantly reduce the country's greenhouse gas emissions. The bill aims to limit climate change to no more than 1.5 degrees by 2050, but it doesn't really clearly specify the measures that are actually going to be taken to reach this goal. Specifically, the targets are wanting to reduce methane emissions by 10% by 2030 and anywhere between 24 and 47% by 2050. But, you know, every action there's a reaction. This is expected to disturb the production rates of pastoral farming. Joining us now is Director of the ARC Centre of Excellence for Climate Extremes, Andy Pittman. Andy, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Not a problem.
So this is a really ambitious bill and, you know, I think gut reaction is to say this is brilliant, but how is maintaining this target going to affect some of the farmers in New Zealand?
So I think in the short term there will be transition issues, but there's an awful lot of work that's been done around the country looking at how to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture. New Zealand actually has been quite a thought leader in this area for some time, and I think they're just implementing some of the learning that they've already accumulated. So it is going to have an effect, but I suspect long term, as countries recognise the need to deeply cut emissions, it could actually leave the New Zealand agricultural sector very well positioned for later in the 21st century.
And so how is the bill going to enforce legal requirements upon farmers once it's actually been enacted at the end of this year?
Not the faintest idea. That's very much in terms of my knowledge of the New Zealand legislative process is pretty small. But there is something I would just draw attention to your listeners. The reason New Zealand is trying to do this is to try to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. That actually isn't possible now. First of all, you'd have to go to basically net zero emissions faster than is technically feasible, but much, much more serious than that. You'd all know that you've got to do it globally. New Zealand doing something in isolation won't work. It has to be part of an international agreement. And the key thing that has to be achieved is the removal of coal as an energy source across the world. As you do that in places like China and India, you remove the pollution of aerosols into the atmosphere. So by cleaning up the CO2 emissions, you clean up the aerosol emissions. And at the moment, they're masking global warming by about 0.5 degree. So the whole process of cleaning up the planet, kind of conversely, perhaps, initially accelerates warming because we're removing those aerosols from the atmosphere. All that translates into the 1.5 degree is already committed. It's already in the system. It's not something we can avoid. But what New Zealand's actually doing is really some of the heavy lifting around avoiding the 2 degree ceiling that the Paris Agreement implemented, which is a good thing to avoid 2 degrees. But the 1.5 degrees ain't going to happen.
That is truly terrifying. Do you think then that it is worth New Zealand aiming for keeping it under 1.5 degrees and keeping that, you know, target even though it may not be reachable, or is it worth setting a more realistic goal?
Well, it's a bit like a student aiming at a high distinction, failing to get a high distinction, but getting a distinction. Well, they may have failed to get their HD, but a D is pretty cool, right? So it is good to be ambitious in this space. It's necessary that countries are ambitious because at the moment, the commitments globally under the Paris Accord don't get you to 2 degrees. They get you to about 3.5 degrees. So what countries have signed up for is nowhere near enough to actually implement the Paris Agreement of 2 degrees. So it is good if countries are ambitious. It is good when you look at the UK not using coal for a week for the first time since the Industrial Revolution. It is good when you look at countries like New Zealand being more ambitious. So I'm very positive about that. But there's also this nasty little reality check that the climate scientists were calling for these emission cuts in 1990, not in 2019. So we've lost sort of 20 years. And we now have to catch up for that in action.
That's going to be keeping me up all night tonight. but considering the OBS back to New Zealand, I guess, considering that the bill has, you know, it's set these targets for reducing greenhouse gases, as you just mentioned, it hasn't really clearly defined how it's going to reach these targets. Do we have any idea how they'll do that and how effective that the bill might be in the future?
Well, certainly there is a lot of science being done around the agricultural sector on how to reduce emissions. For example, cattle produce methane. You can genetically select a herd to kind of halve or even more the emissions of methane. So some cattle produce a lot, some don't produce very much. You can do a lot just by genetically selecting the cattle that you're using for milk or beef. There's one thing that you can do. Now, if an individual farmer does that, it doesn't make much difference, but if you do it as part of a national strategy, it can really help. Similarly, agriculture is a major cause of emissions of a different greenhouse gas called nitrous oxide. That's related to overuse of nitrogen fertilizers. Careful use of nitrogen fertilizers can help save farmers money and reduce the amount of nitrous oxide produced. So there's actually strategies for doing these things, but the impetus to do them at a national scale needs a government that's proactive in looking forward. The other thing you can do, perhaps the simplest thing you can do, is stop land clearance. Leave old growth forests alone, leave them in place, and where you've chopped them down and can, replanting those forests does help. It's not a silver bullet. But in a country like New Zealand, they would be able to reforest some of their landscapes with replacement old growth forest. That would also help reduce their emissions.
Well, Andy, we really appreciate you speaking to us this morning. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.